Glad that each and every one of you could come out and be with us so we might study some more of God's Word. When Brother Harold was kind of introducing me there, brought to mind that the thought of what does it mean when a preacher looks at his watch? Nothing. You know what it means when a member looks at their watch? Nothing. I remember earlier when, back a number of years ago, when a sermon would tend to get long, I think Harold had this habit of starting to open his book near the end. And to tell you the truth, I'm getting real deaf over in this ear, so it'll be even hard to hear that. We're going to talk this evening on the topic of apathy. There's a lot said about apathy. Some people don't care to hear about it. They're kind of apathetic about it. But before we get into the meat of the sermon this evening, I'd like for us to look at some definitions. One is indifference. And indifference is having or showing no interest or concern, neither very good nor very bad, kind of mediocre. And some being not choosy about a variety of legal options. What do you have for lunch? I mean, the common answer anymore is, I don't care where you want to go. I don't care where you want to go. There's no particular choice in that. Colors, variety of things. Generally, it's about small matters and with very little consequence. It's kind of a neutral idea if you're indifferent. However, apathy, we have from the Greek word, or two Greek words. A and pathos. A meaning without, and pathos meaning emotion. No particular emotion. And I think the word implies that being without emotion of things which we should have emotion in, things which should have some meaning to us, but, you know, we just really don't care. Usually, they're important matters of greater consequence, and if you're apathetic, it's generally considered a negative. When you or I become apathetic about God's Word, about the things in God's family, we've stayed home. We've given up the fight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us there, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We know we can't fight that good fight of faith if our attitude is one of apathy, if we just really don't care. Now, apathy can be caused by a lot of different things. Poverty. The situation that you're in. You may be struggling so hard to get by on other things that there are certain matters in life that just don't matter to you, that maybe otherwise you would care about. On the other hand, affluence can make you apathetic. You're so bothered by the cares of this life, looking after your money, the wealth that you have, you don't have time to care about the things which are important. Never being truly converted. Is another cause. Worldliness. Calvinism. The belief that from the beginning of time, things were already determined whether you're going to heaven or going to hell. And if that's the case, why bother? Because you're going to be in one of those two classes. Sometimes just having an arrogant attitude will lead to apathy. We feel like we're so far above everything else that we don't need to care. The world is determining for many of us what is important and what is not. If you listen over the past few years, just some of the things that come to mind, the O.J. trial. Was that important or not? It was real important if you looked at the amount of time that was spent on it. What does Newt Gingrich's mother think of Hillary Rodham Clinton? A lot of time was spent on that. How many times did you see Evander Holyfield's ear getting bit off by his opponent? I mean, those are things which the world shows us as being important, that we ought to have some care, ought to have some emotion about. We must look to God's Word for the right example of what's important. Follow it ourselves and have that example for our children and our friends to follow. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We need to align ourselves with Christ. And then we need to show that example to others that they might also follow. You're the salt of the earth, a candle on a hillside. Don't be apathetic. Make a difference. Some things we're going to go over tonight. If you want to call it some, here are some matters that matter. We'll look at attendance, studying God's Word, taking a stand for the Word of God, doing personal work, and following God's instructions for worship. So if you are kind of pacing where we're at any given time, that's kind of the flow of where we're going. Some matters that matter. Apathy and attendance. We know no matter how some may rationalize it or try to justify it, attendance is important. Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, as we read through the passage there, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there were no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw this, their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. If Jesus were coming back Thursday morning, how many of us would be here Wednesday night? If we were crippled as this man was, would we or our friends have the interest or the desire to come and see Jesus for that healing? From time to time, Christians are too apathetic to assemble with other Christians. That's sad, because that's where we draw our strength from. I've really delighted over the last few days, just a few gatherings that we've had, that we've been together at, because our lives are becoming so full of other things. We're so busy. We're drawn in so many different directions. You even notice the conversation, the content of the conversation at gatherings. It's quieter. It just isn't the closeness, the feeling to open up and talk with one another that we used to have. There are some that are too apathetic to get involved with any one congregation. They just float in and out as they feel like it. And if you're doing that, quit it. Because you're not helping yourself or anyone else. We build ourselves up. We build the body of Christ up when we work together with one another, when we encourage one another. It's very important. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God wants us to be someone with emotion, not someone with no emotion. Someone who cares about his things and wants to get involved in them. We had passed out up in the Englewood area back a year or two ago a bunch of different flyers. This was one of them that came the day this new congregation started. This was the actual flyer. And it says, you're invited to our grand opening this coming Sunday, March 5th, Northern Hills Christian Church. Coffee and donuts. Come and have a good time with us. Join us. I guess in the area of attendance, what are we coming for? Are we coming for what we find like in Romans chapter 1, verse 16? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of Christ and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Are we looking for that, or are we looking for something that's entertaining? That tickles our fancy. That's something that will keep us awake. That gives us an enjoyable time. We do need that association with one another. That's very true. We also need to study God's Word. We need to dwell on it. There's also apathy in studying God's Word, or lack of zeal, lack of desire. Now, this first one everyone really ought to get. How many of you read the Bible yesterday? I won't have you raise your hands, but if you want to, go right ahead. I figured just about everyone did because it was Saturday and you're getting ready for your Sunday lesson. How many of you read or listened to something, discussion about the Bible, radio, whatever, every day last week? Or how many of you listened or read your Bible every day this last month? Well, I tell you, I am impressed by some of what I've seen in the audience. I think a problem, though, and like I said, everyone didn't have to hold up their hands, but we as a whole just don't do that much anymore because we go in so many different directions. Well, let's look at it a different way. How many of you ate yesterday? Probably several times. How many of you ate every day last week? Or every day last month? Yep, more hands on that. We're supposed to feed on God's Word. And you know, combined with feeding on God's Word, just as when you go ahead and eat, you need to go out and exercise to put that food, that energy that you've taken in, put it to some good use. When we feed on God's Word, we need to take it out and put it to good use. Let us think back to Sodom and Gomorrah. If you remember the story of the judgment that was coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham was pleading for the city. He said, "Lord, if there are 50 righteous people in the city, will you spare it?" He said, "Yes, for 50 I would." He said, "What if there aren't 50? What if there are 45? And he goes through 40, 30, 20, and 10. Let me ask you, in the area of studying God's Word, what if something were to happen to this congregation if we couldn't find people that knew 50 different verses, could quote 50 different verses? Would we have to go down to 40 or 30 or 20 or 10? Now, probably collectively, all of us could come up with the same verse. There's very common verses that we know, and probably 50 of us could come up with that same two or three verses. But I'm talking about each one of us. Each one of us. If you only memorized one verse a week for a year, you'd have 52 verses. But we don't take the time to do that. Most of us don't. Most of us don't. I don't. I know I need to. And this is why we're coming together, and to encourage one another. I understood that during Vietnam, some of the prisoners of war that were kept in those jails for years, the only thing that kept them going was the different passages that they had memorized. They dwelt on God's Word. Not all of them, but some of them did. Here's a story in Reader's Digest here a while back about one of those, and about the forgiveness he had for his captor just because of this. Because he kept going over and over God's Word, and he knew this person personally was not dealing this way with him, but it was because he was being ordered to, and he didn't understand why he was treating them in this manner. God's Word is very important. It's there to sustain us. If God's Word didn't matter, he wouldn't have given it to us. It wouldn't be around for us today. I really believe God's Word has been maintained, has been kept from dissolution over the years, because God wants us to know his love for us and what he wants us to do. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, the old saying, "It's better to light one candle than to curse the dark forever." Well, the world lives in darkness. They have no direction. You talk with anyone at your jobs, at your work, and you can listen, just their lives of desperation, looking for something to do. They really have no direction. They don't know where they're going after they die. They really don't want to think about it. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There are too many things in the world that capture our attention, our emotion, our feelings. This is one of the real common ones, and it's growing all the time. That's the TV. What influence does television have on your life? The night before we come together, the praise God, are we up just watching that last show? Just and come sleepy, bleary-eyed? I know it takes a lot of time out of our lives, and it's more and more through school and whatever jobs like that you have, you're more connected to some type of electronic video something or others to get your entertainment, your news, the jobs that you work with, all that. It is such a demand or a draw away from where our attention ought to be. You know, back many years ago, Luther Blackman came to hold a meeting for us. And the time for Luther to appear had come and gone. And we started looking around to find out what had happened to him. He was out here at the intersection and had a car wreck. I don't recall exactly what we did that evening, whether someone else got up and spoke, or whether we just had singing that evening as we went through. Someone spoke. Brother Earl Robertson spoke. And that was commendable. But you know, what if Earl hadn't been there to speak? What if that was today, and we were having someone to come and speak for us? We had visitors and guests that come to hear the Word of God proclaimed, and we said, sorry, and it's one of those things that's kind of uncontrollable. Had an accident, the person was supposed to speak, can't speak, so we may have a song or two, and everyone can go on home. Are we prepared to fill in? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we preparing our children to fill in for us, to fill in for those preachers when they have finally grown old and moved on? We need to think about that in our studying of God's Word. You know, there's also apathy in taking a stand for the Word of God. And I know you know that that's present. That you see that every day. Before the council, for speaking the word of God, the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. These men were brave. They spoke out. They could have just been quiet when they said, don't speak anymore in the name of God, in the name of this Jesus. They didn't have to respond. They could have just and gone on. But they didn't. They took the opportunity to speak back to them, tell them what they had to say. And because of that, these people had it in their heart to slay them. What things do you stand up for in God's Word today as you're with your people at work and the such? I had one on my... I'm sure you all have different things if you think about it. Just to give you an example, we have performance appraisals at work. And one of the performance appraisals we have to fill out, one of the lines under, and it's either a check mark of yes I do or no I don't. And it's kind of a self-rating area in this particular area. And it does affect your job performance. And one of the blocks had down, I'm supportive of other people, irregardless of race, nationality, sexual preference, or something else. And I told my boss, I said, I can't check that. I don't agree with that. I said, and if you would penalize me for that, then you have no respect for my religious beliefs. So I left it blank. Now, I could have just been quiet and let that go on. And my one speaking up about that probably didn't make a lot of difference in the whole scheme of things. But until all of us start speaking up for those things which we know are right, trying to right some of the wrongs that are in this world, they'll just keep sliding down that direction. They'll just keep sliding that direction. Probably the most important thing, why I would do that, well, two reasons. One, I think God wants us to be that way. But number two, I don't want to leave a world for my children like that. I think those things become very important to us. You know, if you look at what these apostles did here in Acts, they acted. They didn't just talk about it. They didn't talk about the Word of God. They went right back out and started preaching. They acted. The worldly influence that we have is, they're talking about norming, where they kind of blend everything together and there's no extremes. It's kind of somewhere here in the middle. Well, that kind of gets away from that idea of emotions being either on one side or the other. Let's just all kind of, you know, slop it together here in the middle and everyone can agree on everything. Now, of course, that isn't true. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, there is a degree of normalizing of things, but it's only in a spiritual sense. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all one in Christ Jesus. And in that sense, we are all together, we are all equal in God's eyes. But beyond that, in the world today, there's a lot of things going on. Some of them you may know about, some of them you may not. In the area of gender norming, that everyone's equal. I know you've heard of women preachers, women priests, women elders, etc. People are trying to introduce that. That's not in God's Word. We need to speak out against that. But you know, it's not just that far. It's gone way farther over here. There's a whole group, there's a whole ideology that goes into goddess worship. And these feminists call God Sophia. There's a name that they equate to her, and it's Sophia. And they pray to Sophia that she is God. There's some real extreme things out in this world. But lest you think that's some little, you know, little strange group that hides in huts over here somewhere, they've had whole football stadiums filled with people come together to worship Sophia. We need to be on guard for that, brethren and sisters. Listen for the things that you, that in dealing with others, the people that you meet as you participate in Little League and all that, listen for the things. Help people understand what God's will is. Grade norming in schools. No failure. That also means there's no success. But that also promotes this area of apathy. It's like, why try harder? Morals norming, if you will. There's no right. There's no wrong. Everyone can do whatever they want. Why make the tough choices? Sometimes we become apathetic because we forget that our roots were in the world. And sometimes we fall back into that area. But we've been adopted into the family of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Will we take a stand for what God's Word teaches, even though it may cause us some type of suffering? Will we be too apathetic and feel more comfortable in returning to our old way of life and just fitting in with others? There's apathy in doing personal work. And probably that's one beside the one of not studying God's word, apathy in the area of doing personal work is probably the one that disturbs me the most, in that it is so important. We've got to understand God's word, to be able to relay to others what needs to be done. But friends, we just don't get it anymore, or many of us don't, in going out and talking to others about God's word. There's a lot of reasons we come up with. But we don't have the attitude of Andrew. Excuse me. John chapter 1, verse 40 and 42. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, that shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. This one went and found his brother, and took him straightway to find, to also listen to the Messiah. It was important to him. He knew it was very important. It wasn't just a casual thing of, real good speaker over here, we need to get over sometime next week and hear what he has to say. It was very important to Andrew. In the area of personal work, quite often we have, if you look at personal work, when you talk about having a personal work class or something like that, it often just turns into group talk and doesn't go any further than that. And what's missing is the action. We can talk about it all we want, but until we go out and actually put it into practice and talk with one another and talk with those that are looking for God, it's just not going to get done. The best personal work program is working with the people that you and I meet one-on-one. You see that over and over in the Bible. The book of Acts is called the book of Acts because it has the actions of the early church in it, what they did to convert people. It doesn't take a lot of money or literature or organization. It does take work and a desire to help others, and it also takes humility. It takes humility. One of the reasons I had back at the beginning of why we sometimes are apathetic about things is arrogance, and I said it for this reason. We look at a passage in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven and smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee would have no desire to be with this publican. Sometimes we'll get in a situation where we don't want to get our hands dirty with those that are in sin, or we feel that we're so far above those that are in sin or that have sinned that we don't want to deal with them. Think of some people in the Bible, though, that although they were followers of God, they sinned and they went on. Look at Peter. Said, Lord, I will be with you, even if it costs me my life. I will not deny you. And he denied him. Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners because of his work in persecuting the church, put many people to death. Or David, who was called a man after God's own heart, who lied, committed adultery, committed murder. and God forgave him. And the problem we often have is we don't forgive one another. And we also carry that attitude out into the world when we're working with people. We have a hard time dealing with people that are in sin. Brother, I'll tell you, I'm a sinner. I know I am. And it's only by the love and the grace of God that I'm still alive today. My dad was a sinner. My mom was a sinner. My children are sinners. Each and every one of us are sinners. And until we can humble ourselves and really realize that before God, we have to be humble. We have to accept what we are. It's hard to talk to other people. I do want to bring out one example, though. One good example. A lack of apathy. And that's Kevin Slagle. Now, if you don't understand that totally, you might ask Chris. There are others of you out here, too, that are working one-on-one with people, talking with people. And we need to talk to one another about those times when we are working and trying to spread God's word, because it's encouraging to one another. I didn't bring that up to embarrass anyone, but that's encouraging. It's like the trip of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Well, turning back on the growth in this congregation, where everyone's going out and talking with the neighbors, starts with just a few going out and doing that. And their example is contagious. They have apathy in following God's directions for worship. I like to keep clippings from various things in church. This was the vacation Bible school for a particular church. Tons of fun, you won't forget. Featuring Jerry Lucas, the world's leading authority in memory training and former NBA and OSU basketball star. Adult workshops, preschool, vacation Bible school, children's and youth programs, live music, child care provided nightly. You name it, they got it. And that was their attempt at providing an atmosphere for worship for God. They really missed the point. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, Jesus said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. If it feels good, do it. If it draws them in, do it. If the teaching is distinctive and some might be offended, don't do it." You recall the passage where Jesus spoke some very, very strong terms to the people that were there, and his followers said, "Don't you know that they were offended at what you said?" He said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, your blind leaders the blind. The blind lead the blind, then both shall fall into the ditch." If you would, go ahead and open your song books and be turning to the song that was selected. We can't afford to be apathetic in any of our service to God, in any facet of our life. I'm sure there are many more things we could have talked about tonight, but the time is gone. But our attendance, our study, standing up for God's word, personal work, and our worship, very important, very important. We cannot be apathetic. We have to be emotionally strong in that which we choose to do for God. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke in the love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." When we have apathy, about spiritual things. That's just what we're doing. I'm saying, Jesus, I don't care what you did for me. And just trample him underfoot. Whatever is keeping you from serving God is separating you from God. Christ is coming again, and we need to wake up the world, possibly wake up the person sitting next to you. We need to work with one another. Provoke one another to love and good deed. Act and be looking for the coming of the Lord. If we can assist you in being obedient to God's word in any way this evening, would you please come as together we stand and sing.